It's Ian Pickus. We're back in the congressional corner today with Vermont Representative at Large Becca Ballant, a Democrat. This is her first term, and she's running for another. Becca Ballant, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Ian. Always love to be on the show.
How many times did you listen to Pink Pony Club this summer?
Many. Too many to count. That's a great first question.
Well, let's get to some real stuff. I want to talk first about the presidential campaign. We're just coming out of that debate between former President Trump and VP Harris. How did you think she did?
I thought she did a tremendous job. One of the things that was important to me for her heading into the campaign, the debate, was for her to talk directly to the American people, to make sure that in those moments when she had the floor to talk to them about the issues that are important to them and what her plans are for helping in those situations. And, you know, we saw a lot of the same from Donald Trump. It was a lot of lies. He even spread some more conspiracy theories. But more importantly, I think it's so important that he really didn't speak to average families who are looking for him to lay out a vision for how things are going to be better. And so I thought her performance was quite good. It was forward-looking. It was really speaking to who we are as Americans, as neighbors, as, you know, as families. And it was just very hopeful.
If that's all true, why is the race as close as it is?
Oh, my gosh, so many reasons. One is there's a tremendous amount of misinformation. We all know that the although it pains me to say it, we are still very much a divided electorate. I don't think we're as much as a divided country as we are a divided electorate. And what I mean by that is there's still so many people who don't vote. And we know that in presidential elections, Democratic candidates get millions and millions of more votes, and yet they lose because of the archaic electoral college. And I don't think anyone could claim that a presidential election that is essentially decided by a handful of states is a healthy way for us to run elections. And so you've also had a situation where you have had the former president and his allies in Congress and MAGA supporters across the country that have been spreading misinformation, disinformation about elections themselves. And we are at an all-time low in the last few years of faith that people have in government, in the democracy, and that's not by accident. And so it's critically important for us to stay focused on talking to regular voters, people who in the past have felt disenfranchised, have felt like there hasn't been someone really addressing housing, the concerns about the cost of prescription drugs, thinking about the mental health crisis, lowering costs across the board, making sure that we are going after the companies that have been price gouging on some of our staples. And that's one of the things that I've done in Congress in the last 2 years, is when you sit in on these committees and you get the details about what is really driving the increase in costs, there are some bad actors that we need to go after. And we got to put working people first. And I do think that it's going to be, you know, a project of many years' time of trying to unwind all of the lies, all of the disinformation, all of the attacks on the democracy. And you saw in the debate that the former president still will not admit that he lost the election. He still will not admit that he did anything wrong on January 6th. And so this is damage that we're going to be dealing with for a long time. But I strongly believe that Harris has a vision, not just for moving the country forward, but for bringing people together. And what we saw from the president was more of the same, which is hate and fear and dehumanizing. And it is, you're not wrong, it is going to be a nail biter in these battleground states but I fully anticipate that the vice president and Tim Walz are going to get millions and millions of more votes because they have the message that's resonating with average people.
Well, as you say, I mean, Hillary Clinton got more votes and so did Al Gore. But it's been a while, you know, since we talked. Do you feel like there's a better chance now that Harris is the candidate as opposed to President Biden?
No question. No question. The level of enthusiasm we are seeing, and it's not just about donations. So the donation story is remarkable. Many, many first-time donors, small-dollar donations, the level of engagement with phone banking, door knocking, volunteering. I am hearing this from my friends who serve in battleground states when they have a campaign event. They are flooded, the lines out the door, people want to engage. We are outraising the Republicans in every category. And so, yes, the engagement, the enthusiasm is increasing each day. There's a huge enthusiasm gap. And I thought it was really interesting, too, because a very famous Republican pollster yesterday, Frank Luntz, even he said yesterday, I don't know if we can overcome this enthusiasm gap. He believes that Trump is going to lose this election. Now, that being said, we got to outwork. We got to outwork the Republicans. We got to outwork Trump. And we have to make sure that we are not giving up on those Americans who feel disenfranchised, who feel unengaged. We got to have a great ground game. And how you do it is you get in a community, you talk to people one-on-one, and that's what we're doing.
Would you like to see them debate again?
I don't think it's necessary because I think she honestly cleaned his clock, and you saw her laying down all these traps for him, and he couldn't help himself. He could not stay focused on policy. He could not stay focused on issues. He had, you know, lie after lie, misinformation. So I don't think it's necessary. I think the American people saw who was ready to be president and who was not. But if she wants to debate again, more power to her, because she would do a tremendous job all over again. And I just was so impressed by her ability not to get sucked into his buffoonery.
Now, we just have a couple of minutes left in today's conversation, but let me ask you this question, because there were some moments in the debate when former President Trump tried to make this point. You know, a lot of Americans say they are really unhappy with the state of the economy, and they don't think that the Biden administration, you know, does better than Trump does on a lot of economic policy questions. So, how would you answer that criticism that, you know, Harris is part of the Biden administration? You know, she's the heir apparent to Biden's policies, and those policies haven't done enough for the average voter.
Well, look, we have seen over the last year prices have come down. But that being said, people are still feeling it in the grocery store. We have seen prices at the gas pumps coming down steadily. And you also have to factor in the issue of how price collusion has impacted these costs, whether it's on eggs, whether I had a hearing in Congress last year talking about meat packers getting together to artificially inflate prices. So I do think they had a fantastic ad they put out on the economy. They need to do more of that, absolutely, because it is always, you know, whether it's number one or number two issue in a presidential race, people care about pocketbook issues. So they have a great story to tell, but I think they also have to acknowledge that even though we're seeing prices coming down, people may not be experiencing it in the way that the numbers seem to indicate. And so they have to absolutely give voice to that, address it. And what you saw in the debate the other night is you've got somebody who's willing to put forward plans for this. And when Trump was asked repeatedly for plans, he said, I have concepts of ideas, basically. And he always says the same thing. You'll be seeing my plan on that in 2 weeks' time, and it never comes. And so I want somebody who has seriousness of purpose, who understands that things don't just happen magically. You have to help make them happen with plans and bringing the right people together around a table. And let's not lose sight of the fact that, you know, he recently gathered together some of the richest people in New York and said, second term, I'm going to be looking out for you, not looking out for regular voters. We're going to figure out how to tax, you know, cut your taxes even more. And Project 2025, one of the things that I really want people to understand, part of that is includes increases in taxes on the middle class. That's the reality.
We've been speaking with Vermont Democratic Congresswoman Becca Ballant, an at-large first-term representative. And when we come back the next time, let's talk some about what's going on in the House right now.